City Talk 105.9, this is the voice of Liverpool. It's Will Batchelor here, joining you for another week of City Surgeries. If you're new to the station, welcome. It's City Talk 105.9. What happens on the City Surgeries? Well, I'll tell you, basically, I'm here every week, every day of the week, and I'm joined on each of those days by an expert in a different field. On a Tuesday, we have a vet here, so you can ask him about your poorly animals. On a Wednesday, we have a solicitor, so you can ask him questions of law. On a Thursday, we have a doctor in, and on a Friday, it's a financial advisor. However, on a Monday, we kick things off with our IT and gadget guru, Mr. Gary Miller. Good afternoon, Gary.
Good afternoon, Will. I'm here with our hundreds of helpers.
Yes, we do, because as Duncan Barks mentioned when we were talking about 10 minutes ago, we do have a forum atmosphere to this show, and we have a cavalry of techie listeners who listen in and like to chip in their comments as well. You're very welcome to do the same. Don't let Gary and me hog the airwaves. You can join in the discussion too. And of course, you can ask Gary any question you want. The reason we put this show on a Monday, by the way, is that we think a lot of people go out at the weekend and invest in new technology. A new camera, a new TV, and then get at home and can't work it. Or they spend the weekend wrestling with their computer, trying to make it print or trying to download tunes. Wrestling, grappling with the technology in their lives. And then by Monday morning, they're ready to throw it out the window. But don't do that. Ask the expert instead. Gary will try and help you out with your technological question, whatever it is. All you need to do to put the question to him is pick up the phone. 0151 708 1059 is the number to call if you are baffled by technology, or if indeed you're just looking to buy something and you want some advice on what you should be looking for. The number is the same, 0151 708 1059. And you can text 61025. Please start your question with the word talk, followed by a space, otherwise we won't get it. And you can email me as well, surgery@citytalk.fm is the address. That's surgery@citytalk.fm. By the way, I must mention this because I'll forget, we also do this show as a podcast because it's, you know, linked to technology. So if you are listening to this show on the podcast, having downloaded it from iTunes or via our website, www.citytalk.fm, either way, we will be happy to say hello. Because, of course, you'll be listening in the future. You can't ask any questions, though. Gary, I'm waffling. Tell me, what is hot and what is not hot?
Will,
this week?
You never waffle.
Well, I do a little.
Before we go to script, I've just discovered that probably tomorrow, the new and apparently exciting pink or black Sony, apparently it's unique, W Series Walkman comes out. Do you know the old Walkmans?
I remember wanting a Sony Walkman desperately in the 1980s, and then they sort of got eclipsed, didn't they, by Discmans and then obviously iPods.
Well, this is a new wraparound. It's like a set of headphones. You just stick it in your ears, wrap it around your head, and actually the gubbins, everything that it does, is actually in the earpieces.
So there's not even a bit to hold, a bit like the iPod.
There's not a bit to hold. It's on your head, in your ears. So it's the W Series Walkman, formerly called the NWZ-W202.
Why did they stop calling it that? Because that was really catchy, that name.
I caught me, didn't it? Yeah. If you want it for Christmas, buy a W202. Anyway, it starts shipping tomorrow. 2 gigabytes of inbuilt storage space. Support for MP3, AAC, which is what the Apple iPods take, and WMA files, and a battery good for a dozen hours, and a 3-minute quick charge, which gives you 90 minutes of playback. And it's pink or black, it's $70. That tells me it's not quite out in the UK yet, in pounds, shillings and pennies.
What do you think? I mean, Sony Walkman took a right battering from the iPod, didn't it? It's amazing, isn't it? Because back in the 80s and the 90s, the Walkman was a generic term for any kind of musical device that you carried around. Even if it wasn't a Walkman, you'd say, where's my Walkman? But it got absolutely battered by the iPod. Could this be, in your opinion, Gary, the fight back? Or is it just a little bit too small and cheap and it hasn't got video on it?
Well, I don't think it's cheap. Not
$70
everybody...
isn't a huge amount, is it?
No, it's not. But, I mean, not everybody listens to... most people use the iPod to listen to music. Because, let's face it, a 2.5-inch screen or a 4-inch screen isn't quite big enough to watch that fantastic Bolt 3D movie or Watchmen or Transformer or whatever the current thing might be. So, actually, most people use their iPods to listen to music. I think this is a great idea. The fact that it's just goes on your head. It's got no trailing wires to trip on. I think it's fantastic. So it's 2 gigabytes, which is quite large, and just plugs into your ears and off you go and start running.
Do you know, it's absolutely incredible. There will be youngsters listening to this radio show, maybe, I don't know, 20 years of age, who won't even remember the days when if you had a Walkman, the cassette Walkman, you would be very careful not to do too much rewinding and fast-forwarding because it absolutely drained the battery. Do you remember?
I do.
You'd have to listen to the tape in the correct order, and then if you did want to rewind it, you waited till you got home and shoved it into your tape deck at home so as not to...
Can you remember how cool you were, though, if you had a Walkman in those days?
Well, I wasn't cool because I just had to borrow my sister's, I think.
Ah, you see, you see. You know, out there, if you're 20 years old, the Walkman was the iPod of its day. Everybody had to have a Walkman, and it started off with a cassette.
Although to store 20,000 tunes like an iPod can, you'd have to have a Walkman and a trailer.
A huge trailer. Yeah.
A horse box.
So let's go back to script. I just thought that was interesting because it's just been announced just now.
On that topic, by the way,
yes.
I must read out this email which I received last week because we were talking about the iPod Shuffle last week, which although it isn't contained within the earpiece, it's a similar device, isn't it? It's kind of a jogger's iPod.
Yes.
And you commented on the fact that there's this new feature in which when a song comes up on it, the iPod will say aloud to you what the song is.
If you press a button.
If you press a button. Yeah. And I scoffed and said, what's the point of that? And I had a very nice email from Julie in Bootle, who says she's a blind lady and she uses all sorts of technology. And she said that up until recently, iPods were a definite no-no due to their inaccessibility to her as a blind person. However, with the launch of the Shuffle and the new Nano, which also generates spoken menus and prompts voice tags, which iTunes generate, I now enjoy great access and can use an iPod with ease. I applaud Apple for taking our needs into consideration and for making iTunes fairly accessible, as well as for using keyboard navigation. And she goes on, but I think that's the basic point of it is, I wasn't thinking about blind people when I made that comment. To be fair, Julie, you're absolutely right, I wasn't, and thank you for the comment. And as I say, it is a forum if you want to get involved with today's show, either to ask a question of Gary, who is our gadget guru, or to put me right on something that I've said, or indeed to offer your own solution to a different listener's dilemma. The numbers are always the same, 0151 708 1059, the text number 61025. Start your message with the word talk, leave a space. And the email is surgery@sillytalk.fm. Right, Gary, as well as the Sony, which is breaking news, what have you got for us that's hot this week in the world of techno business?
Right, we've had a conversation about this many times, and people say, oh, I should have remembered to back up my hard disk.
Mm.
The hard disk has gone down, all my photographs, all my tunes, all my videos, all my documents are now gone. And what would you do?
Well,
you would cry, and you might be able to find somebody, some techno geek somewhere in the country who could try and save and try and get back maybe the stuff that's either been deleted or formatted off. Sometimes that's doubtful. So what you should always do every day, every week, is back up your entire hard disk. Now, some people would say to me, but I can't buy a hard disk backup, an external drive, it's called, that's big enough.
But Gary,
to copy
I can't
everything.
Buy a hard drive backup that's big enough to copy all my documents and folders.
Now you can, Will.
This
though.
Sounds like a radio advert.
It's
not,
does.
By the way. It's not.
It's not. We're not paid to see any of this. No, it's a new drive that's come out. And actually, I'm surprised by this. It's a 2 terabyte.
How big is a terabyte? Is that not a dinosaur?
It could be, yeah. Pterodactyl type of thing. It flies at you.
Yeah.
It scares you to death. No, a 2 terabyte is a 2,000 gigabyte capacity.
That's enormous, isn't it?
That's massive. And actually, the drive itself is not huge. It doesn't look huge, I mean, but compared to normal ones. But 2,000 gigabytes, when you think about most laptops, will either be 160 or maybe 240 gigabytes.
So this hard drive has got the power, if you like, of 8 powerful laptops.
Eight powerful laptops storage-wise.
Yeah.
It's from Western Digital. It's called the MyBook range. There is the MacBook Studio Edition. There's a MacBook Mac Edition, so it's obviously for the Macs as well, and the Apples. And the MacBook Home Edition and the MacBook Essential Edition, which means obviously you have to have it. And they all have the new 2 terabytes. Now that looks like, if you're looking at it in writing, it's a 2 followed by a capital T followed by a capital B. 2 terabytes, and it's basically 2,000 gigabytes. It makes it the largest single drive external hard disk drives on the market, and they're available right now. Go to Amazon for £240.
Quite a lot of money, but on the other hand, I think most people would pay £240 to get all of their stuff back, wouldn't they? If you lost all of your documents, photos, videos, everything, and someone said, if I could wave a magic wand and you pay me £240, you could have it all back.
Exactly.
I think we'd stump up for that, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
There we go. Interesting. We've been talking a lot this morning, Gary, and I can see some questions coming in already, which we will get to shortly, including an interesting one on the text here from Peter in Bootle, has come into 61025, asking for the best sound dock for an iPod. I'll tackle that one in a few minutes' time, actually, maybe after the first break, because that's one close to my heart. I got a rubbish sound dock for my iPod. I know which one you shouldn't buy, I'll tell you that much, Peter. But if anyone's got any ideas for that, or indeed questions of your own, the numbers are the same, 0151 708 1059. The text is 61025. Start it with the word talk. The email is surgery@citytalk.fm. But before we do that, Gary, what else is hot?
Right, well, there are rumours that the new iPhone will be coming out in June, which is not that far away.
How many iPhones have there been so far? Are we still on the first generation?
No, I think we're on number 3.
Really?
Well, maybe 2. 2 and a bit, actually.
Doesn't time fly when you're messing around with slightly
your
complicated phones?
Yeah, exactly. Apple has set the date for this year's Worldwide Developers Conference. It will run from the 8th to the 12th of June. So all you Apple fanatics, take note of that date, 8th to the 12th of June. And it could mean both the return of Steve Jobs, who's been off sick for the last few months, and the introduction of the brand new iPhone. There's been some rumour rumblings claiming that the third generation iPhone was coming this June. So perhaps this dating for the conference seems significant. Now, Steve Jobs has been off on medical leave, and he's scheduled to return at the end of June. And it's not inconceivable.
Is he the boss of Apple?
He is, yeah. He's right. What's recognised as the main innovator.
Gotcha.
He invented Apple with friends back in the 70s, if I remember rightly, in a garage. But he's been on medical leave and he's coming back at the end of June. Now, he normally brings some headline-grabbing product with him when he comes to these conferences. So they're talking about the new iPhone, and that means that the iPhone 3G, which is not that old, actually, could be old hat.
Well, what else?
Sometime in June.
What can a new iPhone do? You know, make your dinner? I mean, they seem to do everything else at the moment. What sort of features would we be looking for on a new iPhone?
Now, do you know what I noticed on the TV adverts this weekend? Because I was lying in bed sickly this weekend with this silly cold that I've still got. And I was just watching the Apple Apps adverts. Remember last week we spoke about 15,000 applications out there for the Apple. One I thought was really useful, and you probably think I'm really sad on this. If you're into do-it-yourself, you can actually get an application for the iPhone that is a spirit level.
Oh, actually, that's quite good.
Yeah, and it actually you put it up on a shelf, and it'll tell you how many degrees you're out, and you move the shelf, and it actually does become accurate. To zero, perfectly flat.
I think, though, if you're a brickie, to be fair, you wouldn't be wanting to put your brand new iPhone on the edge of a brick wall that you're building, covered with dust and mortar.
Yeah, but if you're not a brickie like me, who often has to put pictures up and things and shelves up, and I do that, and sometimes it'd be great just to know if it's perfectly straight. So, yeah, it's got the Apple has a spirit-level application. I think that's wonderful.
I'm in two minds about it. I think, actually, I do quite like that. I'm trying to be cynical. I mean, you could, of course, buy a spirit level. I think they cost about £3.
There's another one, though. Another application. If you're out with your tight friends and you go for a meal and they say, oh, let's share the bill, and you want to split it, you actually type in the price and you can... And this application...
That's a calculator.
No,
they've not invented the calculator. I'm not giving Apple that.
Press this button and it says two people, five people, and it tells you how much each.
Yeah, but that's a calculator.
I would do it in my head, actually, but never mind.
They are not. I'm sorry, you're not having that. Apple or iPhone or whoever they are have not invented the calculator. They may have done many good things, but they didn't invent the calculator. Right, we'll take a break now because I want to give your voice a rest. I know that you're poorly. And after the break, we'll get to that question about iPods and the best sound docks for them, plus a couple of others that have come in. And also, we'll be looking at what's not hot, which yet again, Gary, I'm going to have to disagree with you on. Any keen gardeners out there listening to City Talk 105.9 now need to keep listening to this show because I think there's a great gadget. Gary doesn't like it. I do. I'll tell you more in a couple of moments' time. But don't forget, you can get your questions in as well. 0151 708 1059 for any technological question you like. 61025 is the text number. Start it with the word talk, leave a space, and the email is surgery@citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9, this is the voice of Liverpool. It's with me, Will Batchelor, at the moment for the City Surgery, and of course Gary Miller, gadget guru extraordinaire. And if you want to ask Gary a question, then you heard the numbers and you heard the email address and the text number. Get him in now and I shall ask Gary the question. And if he can't answer it, we'll put it to the floor and one of my cavalry of techie listeners will hopefully send in the relevant information. After one, though, don't forget that Dino will be on the air. That's Dean Sullivan. And he will be talking about loads of stuff on his show today, including his take on Jackie Smith's husband and his porn-watching shame. Depends on your point of view, I suppose. Also, would you be happy to decide on punishments for offenders? Dean is in support of that, apparently, so more on that later. And also, he'll have the Lord Mayor, Steve Rotherham, in his studio talking, frankly, from 2 p.m. That's coming up on The Sullivan Show between 1 and 4 this afternoon on City Talk 105.9. Let's get to the first question of the day before we get that gadget for gardeners out, Gary. This one's coming in the text. It's Peter in Bootle who says, what is the best sound dock for an iPod? I'm looking for good bass.
Now, that's actually quite a difficult one because there are, and this is true, hundreds of docks. Mm. And it really depends on... Well, there's two things. You can buy a cheap docking station with speakers and you'll get dreadful quality.
I should just say, before we go on, for those who don't know, what is a docking station?
Right. So you've got your iPod and you at the bottom of the iPod is a little connector and you just basically slide that in to what looks like a speaker system that... surrounds the iPod. Mm. So you don't get that when you buy the iPod. You buy the docking station separate.
When you buy it, it's effectively a personal music device, isn't it? You stick the headphones in it, you listen to it on the bus or on the train, but this is for people who want to share their music either with other people in the same room or just listen to it without using the headphones.
Yeah. Now, iPods can be used in clubs. So where people want to... Hundreds, thousands of people might want to listen to that music. Mm. And there are club systems with huge amplifiers that will accept an iPod sound and give you good quality.
Yeah, because it's just a computer file at the end of the day,
isn't it? It is. However, it might not still give you the best quality because when you download your AAC formatted, that's your MP3 style of format, onto your iPod, most people download it. And I'm probably going to get this wrong, and people can put me right if they wish. I think it's 128 bits per second. Mm. However, Apple have recently announced that you can download it at a higher quality. Mm. The difference is, if you download it at 128 bits per second or less, the quality isn't going to be perfect. It might be perfect in your ears, but it might be a bit fuzzy if it's played loudly in a big, big room. Mm. So you can actually download better quality, higher quality sounds from the Apple website. And I think they charge you an extra £200 to download the music you've downloaded already, but this time you can get better quality.
Okay, so let's assume that Peter in Bootle isn't doing that, though. Let's assume that he just wants a basic docking station so he can listen to music in his front room.
Yeah. I would buy either a JBL, J for John, B for Bertie, L for Lima. I'd buy something like the JBL OnStage 200 ID high performance loudspeaker dock. It's about 99 quid, about £100 from Amazon, because it gives good quality. But then I'd look at the Bose. The Bose has a docking station for the iPod, and they always give good quality.
But Bose are the ones we've spoken about before. They advertise in the back of posh Sunday supplements and private eye, sort of claiming to actually
to be the best sound ever.
Better sound ever or something like that. Yeah, so I didn't realise they'd got involved in the iPod docking
market. You can buy, you can buy one for the Apple. Or you can,
how much would a Bose set you back?
I think they're about 150 quid. But if anybody's bought one, please tell us what the quality's like.
It's mad, isn't it? The speaker system is going to end up costing you more than the iPod.
Well, there is the Apple Zeppelin speaker, which looks like a big balloon. That's why it's called a Zeppelin.
And it's made by Apple, is it?
It's made by Apple. Mm-hmm. And it actually, you just plug your iPod into it, and it's one huge balloon speaker. Now, it may have come down in price, but the last time one of my friends bought one, it was £499 for a speaker. However, the quality is stunning. It is amazing. Surround sound, great bass, absolutely fantastic. Of course, you probably find other systems, surround sound systems, that are even better again.
And also,
with
we know that you're a woofer.
And
we know that you're an Apple fetishist as well. You seem to have Apple high on your list of priorities.
Not always. I mean, actually, I haven't got an Apple sound system for myself. I've got a mixing desk that I can put an Apple in and play that through a very good speaker system in my business. And that is amazing. That's good, really good quality. As good quality to actually entertain 200 people at any one time. So it really depends on the speakers you're buying, how much you're going to spend. If you're spending 30 quid, 40 quid, 50 quid, forget it. If you're spending £100 or more, you're going to get better quality.
I was so surprised, because I was looking for a decent dock for ages, and whenever I went into, you know, Curry Dixon's or whatever it's called now, and looked along the shelf, they all looked really cheap and nasty. You know, they'd either look tinny or tacky or plasticky, and eventually I plumped for this one. I can't remember what it's called. It's a party something, but it's a black one, and it folds up flat, and it comes in a little neoprene bag. And the idea being is, I wanted it for when I go on holiday and stuff like that, so I thought, that's good, I can pack that away and take it when I go abroad. And the quality in it, I've got to say, is not great.
It won't be.
And sometimes we use it in the car, because our car radio is broken at the moment. So we've got to put batteries in it. And when it's running off batteries instead of mains, you can barely hear it above the sound of the car engine. It's appalling.
Can I give you a little trick, though? What you can do is go into one of the Apple stores, or Curry's, or John Lewis, or whoever, and you can actually get a little audio connector that plugs into a TV in a hotel. So if you're traveling around the world on a holiday or whatever, and there's a TV in the room, you can actually plug your iPod into the TV and use the sound system in the TV to save you packing a set of speakers.
There you go. Peter in Bootle. I hope that helps. There's some suggestions there. Also one here from Mark in West Derby, who says, my missus bought a docking station. The make was I Want It, and the bass is fantastic and very loud. Thank you to Mark in West Derby for that suggestion. Peter in Bootle, you might want to make a note. JBL,
JBL, have a look at Harman Kardon as well.
There we go. Thank you for that. If you want to ask Gary Miller a question, or even suggest your own favourites in the realms of iPod docking stations, then do feel free. And your question obviously doesn't have to be about docking stations. You might want to ask Gary about the best spec to look for when you're buying a new TV, new camera, new piece of technology. You might be thinking about buying a phone and want to have a discussion about that. Or you might just be struggling with the technology in your life at the moment, struggling to make it work, and you want some advice from someone who's not in a call centre, then Gary is here to help you. Don't be shy. 0151 708 1059 is the number to come on air and have a chat. You can text your question to 61025. Start it, please, with the word talk, followed by a space. And you can email surgery@citytalk.fm. I'll take one more question, then I must do that gardener's gadget. If you are a gardener, then sorry, I'm not trying to tease you. It's just great. So if you love your garden and you want to see your flowers grow, then stay tuned, because we've got a great gadget coming up. But before I do that, David in Whiston has texted 61025. He starts his question with the word talk, and he says, I've got an IC card slot on my digital TV. What is it for, and what cards are available? Well, what's an IC card slot for a start, Gary?
I don't know. An integrated circuit card, perhaps? It's an IC card. I'm going to just do a little check here while I'm on, while we're on.
And while Gary's having a think about that, I shall say, as I always do, that if you want to get involved in this discussion and let us know what cards you've got on your digital TV or what ones not to get, then the forum, as ever, is going strong. If you want to email your suggestions, you can send them to surgery@citytalk.fm. And if you want to text them, you can text them to 61025, started with the word talk. I don't understand. I've got digital TV as well. It's got one card. I think that's the one from Virgin. You just shove it in, and that's how you get the TV. I didn't even realise there were extras. Is that, Gary, do you think, for things like pay-per-view sports matches?
I think there is IC cards on Discuss in great detail on the web that I'm looking at now, but they're all interface cards. They talk about pay TV. So it probably is a pay TV thing. Mm. It's not actually giving me the right answer. It's banking, electronic payment, identification, and pay TV. So it's probably for Freeview, and you want to increase whatever you want to watch. Maybe the sports channel or something that you don't get with it. Maybe this is one of the ways of doing it. Oh, there is another name for that. I'm trying to think of the other name for what the sports channel would be.
I think, David in Whiston, you might have stumped our gadget guru, Gary Miller, which doesn't happen very often.
So please help.
But I know you're more into music and computers than you are into TV. I think that's fair to say, isn't it, Gary?
I am indeed. And it's £390 now for the Zeppelin iPod speaker, I've just been told. So the B&W, available from Apple, but the B&W iPod speaker is £390.
I thought that was
a car. What a bargain. You could buy a car for that price, I would imagine.
Not a BMW.
No.
Or maybe an old one, actually.
BMW.
I was being facetious.
I know you were.
Let's go to the phone lines now. 0151 708 1059. Sorry, I must just finish that conversation. David in Whiston, sorry, you stumped Gary. If anyone can tell David in Whiston about various IC cards available for digital TV, we would love to get your comments on air, because we don't like to leave people hanging for an answer. And of course, if we don't get any suggestions from you, I will set it for Gary Miller as homework, as well as lines. He's going to have to go away and write, "I must find out about IC cards 100 times on line paper."
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to Carl in Croxteth, who's called in on 0151 708 1059. Hiya, Carl.
Hi, mate.
How are you doing?
Oh, okay.
Excellent. You got a question for Gary?
Yeah, I've got a wireless router.
Yes.
I think it's called a Netgear. I can't get it working at all. I've set it up how it says on the disc, the setup disc, and it's not recognising the internet at all on it.
Now, is this wireless router plugged into the telephone socket in the wall?
Yeah, well, I get it from TeleWest.
Yes.
So it's going via the TeleWest to the wireless router. Sorry, to my modem. It's a wireless router to the PC.
Right.
And it's not recognising the internet.
But there is a cable going from the wireless router into the wall?
No, it's coming from the modem to the wireless router.
Right. Now, you've slightly confused me. I'm stumped again. I don't like being stumped. So let me just think. The wireless router is not the modem. You've got a modem as well. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Right. So you've got a modem that's plugged in. It's a TeleWest modem plugged into the wall. Is that right? And how does that TeleWest modem send the signal to the wireless router?
Like a phone cable, is it Ethernet cable?
So you've got an Ethernet cable going from the router, the modem, to your wireless router. Is that what you're saying?
And the same cable going from the router to the PC.
And the same cable going from the router to the PC. So what are you using the wireless router for? Have you got a laptop or something else in the house?
I've got a PS3.
A PS3, right. So you're not using the computer wirelessly. That's always plugged in, is that right?
Yes.
Right. Now, who set the internet protocol, the TCP/IP connections, on the wireless router?
I don't know.
It needs to be set up with the password. This is a wireless router. Needs to know the password and the login name.
Not getting that far, to be honest.
Oh, is it not?
No. I'm doing it exactly how it says on the setup disk. And then as soon as I click OK, it says it's not recognising the internet.
Yeah, it won't recognise the internet yet because it doesn't know the password and the login name on the actual router. So the router,
I'm not getting asked for that.
Right. Have on the disk you've got, does it ask you to set up the administration on the router?
No, my friend was doing it for me, you see. I'm from the Atari days.
Right. Well, that's your, I think your issue is, what you have to do is tell the wireless router, direct to the router, what the internet protocols are, what the login name is, what the, and this sounds all very technical, and I'm sorry about this, but it needs to know the password and the login name on the router in order to actually link up to the internet. And that's what you're not getting because you've not done that bit yet. So
what does Carl need to do to fix the problem?
What I would do is I would find the IP address of the wireless router, and that should have come with either the booklet or the CD that you get when you buy it. So what happens is you would type a now, I'm not saying this is a number you would type in, but you would type in something like 192.168.0.1, and then that would give you access to that physical router, the wireless router. And then it would allow you to type in the login name and the password that you use to get onto the internet. Does that make any sense for you at all?
Sort of, yeah.
Right, because otherwise you're never going to be able to link that wireless router into your TeleWest network.
Carl, that's some homework for you, isn't it? You go off and try that. And I tell you what, mate, if you're still stumped, give us a bell next week, same number, and we'll see if we can help you at all.
Okay, thanks.
Cheers, Carl. There we go. And if anyone else out there recognises Carl's dilemma and thinks they've found a different way to get around that problem than the one Gary suggested, as ever, this is a forum. It's your chance to have your say. We can't expect Gary to know the answer to absolutely every technological question, so you are more than welcome to chip in with your ideas as well. By the way, Jay in Bootle says, "Hi lads." This is on the email, by the way, not in my head. Bit of advice for the fella who wanted a loud docking station for his iPod. Meant to be quite good sound quality and one of the loudest iPod docks on the market. It's called the Kicker IK500. Very good reviews. So Peter in Bootle, wasn't it, was asking that question earlier. If you still got your pen handy, try the Kicker IK500, which apparently has had very good reviews. On a different question we have here, someone's telling me what a CI slot is on your digital TV. It stands for Common Interface. It's the slot on a digital television receiver into which a conditional access module, or CAM, may be inserted for satellite TV. Receivers normally have two common interfaces. A receiver with a common interface allows the user to access encrypted television broadcasts as opposed to free-to-air channels.
And that's what threw me, because I knew there was something called the common interface, but the question you asked before was, what was an IC interface? And this is a CI interface. So I think actually the first person, the first question was slightly the wrong way around. It should have been a CI, not an IC.
There we go. Well, we got there in the end. David in Whiston. It's a CI, not an IC slot. And you just heard what it stands for. It's the common interface. And it allows you to access encrypted television broadcasts as opposed to free-to-air ones. Do you know, I know someone who'd quite like to get access to some encrypted satellite stations.
Is he married to some government minister?
He may well be, yeah, he may well be. Gary, I promise we're going to do the Gadget for Gardeners straight after the break. So if you want to see how you can watch your garden grow via a fantastic new gadget, which I like, but Gary doesn't, we'll do that in a couple of moments' time. Plus, we will get to some more of your questions, including an additional question from Jay in Bootle. 0151 708 1059 is the number to call. You've still got 20 minutes if you want to ask a question of your own or make a comment. 61025 is the text number. Start it with the word talk or email surgery@citytalk.fm. City Talk 105.9, this is the voice of Liverpool. It's me, Will Batchelor, joining you for the City Surgery. This takes place every day between 12 and 1, on a weekday at least. and I'm always joined by a different expert in a different field. Mondays, it's always the man sitting opposite me now. His name's Gary Miller. We like to call him our gadget guru because he immerses himself in the world of technology and gadgets, and he can help you out with yours if they're failing, or he can just have a chat about the best kind of gear to buy. Tuesday, it'll be a vet. That's tomorrow, isn't it? So, yeah, we will have our vet, Jill Burkill, back in the studio. So if you're sitting there now at home or at work or in the car listening to City Talk, worried about some kind of injury or sickness or slightly odd behaviour which your pet may be suffering at home, then don't be shy. You can send your questions in advance to surgery@citytalk.fm, or you can call and text tomorrow between 12 and 1. Speak to the vet. After that, it's a solicitor. On Friday, it's Ian Howarth, our financial advisor. And on Thursday, in place of Dr. G, who's on holiday, we have one of our team from Spire Murrayfield. It's a lady who's an expert in something called spider veins, which I actually didn't know existed, but apparently it's kind of a form of varicose vein, and there's a new treatment that they're doing that's available to tackle it in quite a short way. So if you suffer from that and you want to get a question in again, then you can email it in advance to surgery@citytalk.fm, or you can wait until Thursday and speak to our expert from Spire Murrayfield between 12 and 1 o'clock. Now, without further ado, because I'll forget otherwise, I love this gadget, Gary, that you found, which you've put in your What's Not Hot section. Were you going to mock this gadget?
I think this is sad.
What is it?
It's like watching paint dry. It is a time-lapse garden video camera that you can watch your garden grow. So you don't have to. The camera watches it for you.
Mm.
And it's called the Time-Lapse Garden Video Camera. It's weatherproof. It's a digital camera. It takes interval photographs and combines them into a neat high-definition video.
That is absolutely fantastic. What is wrong with... Do you not like gardening? Is this your sort of metropolitan snobbery coming out that you don't like people who garden?
No, I love gardening. I think gardening's wonderful. But it's about taking part, doing it, not watching it. What are you going to see?
You're going to see your garden bloom. It'd be absolutely fantastic. I'm not just playing devil's advocate here. I would love to get one of these for my mum or dad. I haven't got a garden. I've got a yard, so you wouldn't see much happening in it. But so basically, it's a camera inside a weatherproof case. It's on a pole. You stick it in the flower bed, and because it's green, it sort of blends in, hopefully. And it takes a load of pictures of your flowers and bushes and lawn and whatever else is happening in your garden growing and changing throughout the year. It takes digital images and then puts them together like a film. It's like having David Attenborough in your back garden, isn't it? I think that'd be brilliant.
And what do you think's in your garden? Do you think it's going to be badgers and foxes?
No, because it's not for watching animals, is it? Because you need a full-on video camera for that. It's to watch your flowers and plants growing slowly over time. I think it's a brilliant idea. I can't believe, of all the daft gadgets you've proclaimed over the past year and a bit.
So if I came back next week with the Dulux paint watcher camera, you would love that as well.
If you think, Gary, that watching paint dry is more or as interesting as watching the beauty of nature unfolding, the miracle of plant growth and flowers blooming, then well, you're more of a gadget obsessive than I thought.
It takes a photograph either every 5 seconds or once every day, so every 24 hours. It costs, this is ridiculous, $160. I mean, you can get it in the UK, but $160 to take photographs of your silly grass growing and your daisies popping up.
You, not 20 minutes ago on this very show, were suggesting people spend £400 on a giant speaker for their iPod to dock into called the Zeppelin. And then you poo-poo the idea of spending, what is it, £80, £100 probably, that kind of cost, on watching your flowers bloom. I would, and I'm not just saying this to be argumentative, I would buy that for my mum and dad as a, you know, a birthday present or an anniversary present or something like that. They would absolutely love it.
Right, listen, Will's family, we know what he's buying mum and dad for either birthday, anniversaries or Christmas this year.
Well, there you go. Well, I think that's good. I tell you what, I'd love to know what you think on this. If you would like one of these cameras that helps you watch your garden grow, and if you would buy one as a treat for your mum or dad, let me know and we'll put this metropolitan snob, Gary Miller, in his place, who thinks that you shouldn't want to watch flowers blooming. You should only care about cold, hard steel.
Yeah, well, whatever. Yeah.
Surgery at citytalk.fm. Right, we better crack on with some questions, Gary, because we've been arguing. This one has got no name on, that's fine. It says, I've got a Bush 32-inch LCD TV and the power board is broken. Where can I get it fixed?
We don't know these people, so I can't actually recommend that they're great or not. But ring 0151 228 1160. They're in L12. That's 0151 228 1160. And there's no call-out charge, and they fix TVs.
There you go. Simple, yeah. simple as that. Do people still fix TVs nowadays? I thought you just meant to throw them away and buy a new one.
No, I think it's worth getting them fixed. I mean, sometimes these are like £1,000 or £500 or £300. If it only costs you £30 to put something right in it, it's worth doing.
There you go. If you know a decent TV repair type shop or business, then feel free to send me the details as well, and I'll give them a shout. Surgery@citytalk.fm. Interesting one here. Where can I get a magnifying screen for a 15-inch widescreen laptop? The RNIB don't have them. I hope you can help. Now, that's obviously then the RNIB is the Royal
Institute for the Blind. Yeah, yeah.
So this person is hard of sight, and they're looking for a magnifying screen to I guess it's a big magnifying glass that goes over your laptop screen.
I've had problems, to be honest, finding this. There used to be ones, because actually one of my friends used to use them, and I can't find them. But what I have found is www.techready, that's T-E-C-H, ready.co.uk, and they have assistive technology items on their website, and it actually has about 12 computer applications that magnify the screen for you, and also talk to you as well.
That's
so they will,
good, isn't it?
They will make the screen bigger itself.
So it's not something you physically strap onto the laptop screen. It's something. It's a program that makes the words or the images bigger.
Bigger, yeah. So there's one called Screen Magnification. There's another one called Zoom Text 9.1. And that actually will zoom into the text, but read the text back to you through the computer's speakers. The only issue I'd have with that is the price of that piece of software is between £375 and £550. So it's not cheap. There's another one called the Lightning Screen Magnifier, so it doesn't talk to you, and that's £100.
That's more reasonable then, I guess.
Yeah, it is. It is. And there's Lunar Screen Magnifier, Scan and Read Pro, so it reads back to you as well. That goes up to £440. That's quite expensive. Lightning Screen Magnifier with Speech and Screen Ruler and Claro View Suite, which is only £50.
There you go.
That's techready.co.uk.
Techready.co.uk.
Yeah.
Is it spelled properly? T-E-C-H ready.
It is, yeah.
There you go. Because you're never sure on the internet, are you?
No.
People play very fast and loose with the English language.
If anybody knows about real hard pieces of magnifiers that you can put over a 15-inch portable screen, you know, like a laptop, then ring in, text us, or email us and help us out here.
My mate's dad used to have a big magnifying glass that he put on a string around his neck. It was huge. It was like the size of a book. And it had these plastic legs on that would kind of sit on your chest.
Yes.
And as you look down, so you say you're reading your papers, your newspaper, or your papers down sort of around your stomach, and you'd be looking through this giant magnifying glass that sat on your chest.
Very good.
It was cool. We used to like playing with it. Anyway, there we go. Jordan. Sorry, wrong name, actually. This one is from Jay. I do apologise. In Bootle. He was the one who earlier suggested the Kicker IK500 iPod dock. He says, the question I want to ask is this. I'm looking at buying a high-power Mac sometime soon. Is it best for me to look second-hand for a Mac Pro or to get an untouched power iMac from one of the dealers? I'll be using it mostly for music production. What do you reckon, Gary?
I would look at both. I'd get down to the Apple Centre in the Albert Dock and see what they do. Or go to the Apple Centre in the Liverpool One, see what they do, get a comparison on prices, and then I would go into somewhere like Cash Converters and look at the second-hand ones they have and see what the prices are there. and you can probably pick up a good machine for about half the price you would if you were buying a brand new one in the Apple Center in Liverpool.
But what do you have to think about if you're buying a second-hand machine? I mean, you don't know. I mean, could it have a virus on it? I mean,
They're normally cleared, but you've got a point. Yeah, normally they're cleared of any software that may have been on there before, and it's back down to the operating system. But you're right, you could have something on that machine that you don't know as a second-hand machine. Mm. If it's got a faulty memory card or a faulty processor, you don't know.
It's weird because I'm not a snob about you know, goods. I would buy a second-hand car without a second thought. I would buy all sorts of second-hand goods, second-hand furniture if I liked it, that kind of thing. But I just can't imagine myself buying a second-hand computer. Why is that, Gary? Why have I been conditioned to think that only a new computer is good enough or safe enough?
No, it's safety. And it's also price as well. The difference in price between a second-hand and a brand-new one, there is a difference, but not a huge difference. And for belt and braces, I would go for the brand-new one first time, always.
I guess also that the technology moves so quickly, doesn't it, as well, that it's bad enough when you buy a computer brand new and 2 years down the line you feel that it's a bit obsolete, let alone if you buy one that's already 5 years old.
Well, Apple, there's rumours today, just came out in the press this morning, or on the wires, I should say, not the press yet, to say that the Mac will have a new version in the next 2 or 3 months. So again, they're changing again.
There you go. It's a tough one. On the other hand, of course, there will be loads of gadget junkies, a bit like yourself, who buy a computer and 18 months later, just because they want the latest one or they're a bit bored of it, will get rid of it. And I guess there are bargains to be picked up because it is such a fast-moving market.
Looking cash converters, it's probably the easiest place. I'll go onto eBay. You'll get something decent and normally quite reliable from that if you want something secondhand.
Jay in Bootle, thank you for that question. I hope that's shed some light on it. I think it was a bit of a fence sitting from myself and Gary there, but you know, you can't have everything. Gary Miller, Gadget Guru, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Will.
Don't forget, this show is available as a download as well, so if you want to listen to it on your iPod, you can download it from iTunes. And indeed, if you are listening to it on your iPod sometime in the future, then hello from the past. It's quite sunny here. City Talk 105.9 is the station. Dean Sullivan's next.
This is City Talk 105.9.